today, let's ask this question. Is God there for us, with us, even when we can't see him? Is he present with us even when he remains invisible? Well, let's take a look at this today because we're in the season of Epiphany now in the church here. And Epiphany is a word that means really basically the drawing back of a curtain to see what's beyond it, what was previously unseen. Sort of like if you ever go to the theater. Do you guys go to the theater? And before it starts, you're sitting in the audience, and all you see before you is a big, thick curtain. And that would appear to be all that there is. But then the play starts, or the musical, and the music bursts into a drum roll and trumpet fanfare. And then what happens is the curtains draw open and reveal and show you what was behind them the whole time, which you didn't see previously, but now it has been revealed to you. It's opened up to you. Epiphany is a time when you talk about the drawing back of the curtain to see what was there, which we didn't see previously. Especially we're talking about God being there. Even though we can't see him, he's invisible. There's a curtain in front of us, so we can't perceive him and see him. Yet, is he there beyond the curtain all along, just outside of sight where you can't see him? Is he with you today and even present in this sanctuary, in this room, in this church? Well, let's take a look at this today and see what God would teach us about it. Is God there for us even when we can't see him? When he's out of sight, invisible, beyond the curtain, let's take a look at that and see what we can learn by the word of God, the scriptures. Well, first thing I think I would like to acknowledge with you is that, frankly, most of the world believes and lives as if there is no God. Or at least if there is a God, he's way off far somewhere else and not around. Why do they think this? Why do most people live as if God doesn't exist? Answer? Because they're only going off what they can see. All they see before them is a curtain. They can't see anything beyond it, so they imagine that's all there is a curtain. There is no God, or at least he's not around, says the world. Can we see this in Scripture? All over the place. For example, Psalm 10. The wicked boasts of the desires of his heart, and the man greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. So there it is. I don't see him, therefore he doesn't exist. The wicked's ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments, O God, are on high, out of his sight. Okay, so he can't see them because they're beyond the curtain. And frankly, the wicked person really likes it this way, don't they? Most of the world does not want God to be around. They like him to not exist or not be near because it gives them a greater sense of freedom to go after the things that are evil. Thinking, well, there's no one there to see me. I can do whatever I want. Who's to stop me? And there's no judgment coming. I like not having God around. I like just seeing a curtain, says the world. Or they say, if God does exist, at least he's really far away, right? He's not near me. That's also in this psalm. We read a little later, this says, the wicked thinks in his heart, God is forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it. So a lot of people in the world live this way, and frankly, they like it. They like to be basically alone. They don't want God near. At least he's afar off, and at best, he's not even around at all. That way they can continue in sin, and there is no one seeing or judging them for it. So this is a description of what the scripture calls the wicked, the unbeliever, the unsaved person. All right. Secondly, though, I think we also kind of need to acknowledge that we ourselves, even as Christians, who know better, who know that God is there beyond the curtain, even we at times can feel like the unbeliever and think there's only a curtain there. It can seem like that, at least, at times for us. Guess what? Same psalm. I'm getting a lot out of Psalm 10, eh? Check it out. The first line of Psalm 10 says, the psalmist says, why dost thou stand afar off, O Lord? Why dost thou hide thyself in times of trouble? For the wicked, in arrogance, the wicked hotly pursues the poor. Let them be caught in the scheme which they've devised. Do you ever feel like that? Like sometimes it seems like the evil people are going to attack the righteous people, and you don't see God jumping in and saving the righteous people. And the psalmist is like, where are you, God? Why are you hiding yourself in times of trouble? I don't perceive you. Where are you, God? Are you even there? Is the kind of question. So even believers at times can feel, though we know better, that God is like not around. Or, where are you, God? Or why aren't you here? Why are you hiding yourself? Why don't I see you? Do you ever feel like that, by the way? Like, where are you, God? Are you even there? I can't see you. Well, you know, there are a lot of saints in the Bible who felt that way. Take Job, for example. Early in his life, he saw God, his hand, very clearly in his life, and then he didn't when he was being tested. And when he was hit hard by his troubles, he said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. He says, I look on the left hand, I seek him, but I can't behold him. I turn to my right hand, and I cannot see him. So in other words, there are times in our lives when it's like, God, I'm in a terrible, dark, deep valley here. I can't even see you. Are you even there? Is God there beyond the curtain? David felt the same way. King David, remember him? Fought Goliath, but he said in Psalm 13, he's crying out. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? So David says at times, and this is also in Isaiah, surely thou art a God who hidest thyself. Does he hide himself from you guys? Can you see him at all times before you? Or are there times when, especially when you hit with real troubles and turmoil in life, when you're like, God, where are you? Are you even there? Are you near? Where are you, God? Well, what's God have to say to us next when we're wondering if he's really there beyond the curtain as we sit in the audience or go through life, when we can't see him, when he seems invisible? Why does God hide himself from us? Well, there's actually two reasons for that. The first reason that the Lord God hides himself from us so that we cannot see him visibly with our physical eyes is, number one reason, for his mercy's sake. Because he knows that if he were to part the heavens right now and come down and dispel all of our doubts and show his face and say, here I am, what would that mean for us? We die. Because you can't look on God face to face and live in our present state of sin. You know, it's mercy. He wants you to live. Isn't this a good thing? It's a good thing that we don't see God for the moment. For we see over here in Exodus. Moses wanted to see God, whom he couldn't see, at least with his physical eyes. And he says, God, I pray thee, show me thy glory. Exodus 33. God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses, but my face you cannot see, for no man can look on me and live. And you know the story. God hides Moses in the cleft of a rock, and he passed by. He covered Moses' eyes, lest he should see his face and die. But as God walked by, Moses was able to catch the afterglow, the back of the Lord, and he was able to see that much. So, you know, when you don't see God in this life, and you wonder if he's really there, know, first of all, it's his love towards you and his mercy. He's saving your skin. He's saving your life and your soul that you live in this world. Because if we saw him in our present state, we couldn't live, we'd die. So thank you, God, that we can't see you. Amen? Amen. For a time, anyway. Secondly, God hides himself, even from his people, so that we can't see him face to face, is because, frankly, he delights in faith. That's the best and closest friendship and relationship you can ever have with God, is when you trust in him when you can't see him. Amen? To give a human example of that, I saw a video just this week on YouTube of a child, a little girl, And she'd fallen out of a window like 15 stories up on a high-rise building. And she was at a place that couldn't reach her from that room. And she's hanging there. And a man sees this and climbs out of the 14th story window, risking his own life, gets out there underneath there where he can catch her in a precarious position. And the girl, hanging from the little ledge she was clinging to for her life, hears the man behind her. She can't ever see his face, but she hears the word, if you will, "I'll catch you, let yourself go, I'll save you." Well, she holds on as long as she could, just like you and I would, but eventually she lets go, has to let go, and she falls and she gets caught by the man who then brings her in, and she's safe and alive. Let me ask you, how close, exciting, and joyful of a relationship are they going to have for the rest of their lives together that she didn't see him, but she trusted his word? He caught her, brought her inside, and they rejoice forever. Is that a better relationship, or should it be better that they just met in the hallway in the hotel, in the light, she sees his face, and she says, "Hi, nice to meet you," stretches out her hand? Or is it better to not see him, hear his word, trust him, get caught, go in? I'm sure they know each other the rest of their lives with joy. You know, God, second reason he doesn't want you to see him right now is because he delights in your faith. That when you don't see him, you hear his word even so. You trust him, and by that you're saying, "God, you are faithful. You are there, I believe it, though all my senses say I can't perceive you. But I will trust your word, I believe you're true, and I know you're good and they're there to save me." And that is the best and closest relationship, friends, you could ever have. So God wants it that for that reason as well. For the same reason, he tested Job in this way. Early in his life, Job had everything. He could see God's hand with him. Satan says, that's the only reason Job loves you, God, because he can see you when you give him all this stuff. Take away the stuff. Hide your face from him and he'll curse you to your face. Well, God let it happen. Job be tested. All the stuff was removed and God hid his face so that Job couldn't see him. Job's response, it was hard. Hard pressed was he. He says, "I turn to the right hand, I can't see him. I look to the left, but I can't behold him. I can't see God, where are you?" But look at his faith. The very next line says, Job says, "But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him." Isn't that the best relationship? The closest one Job could have ever had? Though God seemed far away? Well, God wants the same with you. When he withdraws behind the curtain so that you can't see him at all, and you trust in him, you are actually getting, though it's hard, albeit that's true, he's giving you the best and closest relationship, which, when later on he does reveal, you're going to have the best joy, just like Job and God did. So, God hides himself behind a curtain for your mercy and for your eventual greater joy in the end and friendship. All right, next question though. But does God actually want to be such that he is never seen by you? Actually, if you read the scriptures, God likes you to see him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, God says, "From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all of your soul." Does God want to be found by you and to be seen by you? Does God want to draw back the curtain at times and reveal himself so that you actually see him, at least parts of him in his hand? Well, I think of the times when I would raise Naomi when she was a little daughter, and we would play a hide and seek. You ever do that with your kids and grandkids? We played hide and seek, and I'd say, "Naomi, I'm going to go hide now. You search for me." And she'd say, "Okay, Daddy." So I would go hide. Now, let me ask you a question. If I'm adult Greg and she's this little toddler, could I hide in a way that she never found me? If I wanted to? Sure, I could go somewhere and I could hide myself so well, she'd never find me. But that's not the way it works with a father and daughter, is it? I hide, but in a way that she can find me. And if she's having trouble finding me, I'll let her struggle for a while, but eventually I'll give myself away. I will manifest myself, have a little epiphany, a revealing and appearing from behind the curtain. Sometimes I would hide behind the curtain and the drapes, and she'd come in, ready or not, here I come. Where are you, Daddy? I can't find you. I'm looking for you. I can't find you. After a while, what would I do? I'd shake the curtains a little bit to reveal where I was, or let a little giggle come out from behind, or I'd maybe put my feet or arm out from the side of the curtain, so just for a second, so she could see me, or maybe even poke my head out and snap it back in as if I'm seeing where she is. And she would invariably go, ha, 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 I found you, I found you. I'm like, man, you're a great searcher. I thought I had the best place ever. How on earth did you ever find me? You're an amazing searcher, Naomi. She'd say, I saw you, I saw you, I saw your feet under the drapes. Or I saw the curtains shake. Has God done the same with us, friends? He hides himself, to be sure. But he also reveals himself, manifests, appears, shakes the curtains, so that you do find him and you do see him. So how, then, does God manifest himself to us, reveal himself to us, shake the curtains and show us that we can see him when he's really still behind the curtains, so that we know he's there? Here's a couple of ways, several ways. Number one, it's by his creation. You know, the Bible says that for what can be known about God is plain because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. Does God seem invisible to you today? God says, don't despair at that, my children. He shakes the curtains a bit and he says, look over here at my creation. You can see all this, of course, is not by accident. My hand has made it. And my hand not only has made it, but I say in Hebrews that my hand is daily upholding it. I'm near, therefore, as I've created these things, look to the creation. See the seashells that I am near. See the stars that I've made that I am near. See my mountains and my sun, my deer and my forest, my butterfly and a tiny little baby in a mother's arms. And know that I am near to you and very close, says the Lord. So that's one thing you can do. God says, he manifests himself, look to my created order, to what my hands have done, and be sure that I'm near to you today. Indeed, very close. That's great, isn't it? Secondly, God says, I not only shake the curtains, but I whisper behind the curtains, like Greg did. No, actually, he does better. He speaks to us marvelously through his word. Moses says in Deuteronomy 4, he says, for what great nation is there who has a God so near to it as our Lord is to us? Say the word near to us. Whenever we call upon him. And then he says, yes, what great nation is there who has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? When God seems far away from you and you can't see him and you're in a very tough, dark spot of your life, and it's like, where are you, God? Well, simply open the book and God will say, here I am, I'll refresh your sight. You can see by this book that I am near you and trust my word. And we even have even a better word than Moses. For Jesus says in the New Testament, behold, I am with you always to the close of the age. Will you trust that word from God? You know, not only do we hear it in the word, but the preacher, myself, God speaks through masks, through a jar of clay like me. I'm just Greg, but he's speaking to you now through me as through a mask. So if you're feeling absent from God or God's absent for you, well, have you been absent from church? Come here and you will see him and you will hear him speak to you. Yes, I am God's mask, but the word is his. So that's the second place. Third place God reveals himself and manifests himself to his children and appears is when he appears in your life to save you. You know, sometimes God hides himself and doesn't act. Other times, man, he's there in all lightning power to save. like at the Red Sea. Thou art a God who workest wonders, who manifest thy might among the peoples. Remember, they went into the Red Sea. Moses is following hard after with his entire army to slay them all. And they step into the waters, and we read that the sea parted, and thy way, God, was through the sea, and thy path through the great waters, yet thy footsteps were unseen. I mean, how many times do you see the ocean open, huh? Not a common occurrence. God is like bearing his arm outside the curtain and showing the strength of it, opening the sea. Wow, he manifests himself to us. Does he do that to you? He's saved me in a car accident once. I came out without a scratch. The policeman was like, where's the guy in this car? He must be smooshed like a grape. I'm like, here I am. And I was perfect. God bearing his arm. He's also borne his arm in judgment. Remember, recently there was a guy, Pakistan or India, he was saying, all of Israel, I was in German actually, no, all of Israel will be demolished. We will destroy it. And if this is not the case, may the ground fall out from underneath me. And at that very moment, the entire stage fell down and hundreds of people went crashing down in a cloud of dust. You know, God bears his arm. How has he done so in your life? Recall those times. For you know what? God is like a great blue whale in the oceans, is our God. The surface through most of our life seems quite placid, dark, and smooth. We might not suspect that there is a great hulk of a super creature lurking beneath. And then at last, the whale crests the surface, gives a big blow, and you see his back, and then up comes his tail, and he dives down again into the deeps in majestic glory. This is our God. He appears at times in your life with his part of his body exposed for you to see and remember. So when the sea returns to glass, will you believe who is there with you? As Naomi would cheerfully cry, Daddy, I can't see you, but I know you're in this room. Fourthly, and absolute best of all, is God has drawn back the curtain to reveal himself to his friends that you doubt no more in Jesus Christ, the Savior, his appearing. When Jesus Christ came, that was as if the great blue whale not only crested the surface and showed you his back or his flipper or his tail, but with a completely placid, oily sea, like glass, he comes charging up out of the sea and makes a full breach right before your eyes, such that there's a crash and a bang and a spray of water and mighty, mighty power, magnificent show. I'll tell you, friends, if you want to see God come out from behind the curtain, it's Jesus Christ in full body, a full breach. For the Word was God, says Scripture, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and we have beheld his glory as of the only Son from the Father. We also read in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Have you seen God who is invisible? It's in Jesus Christ. What have we seen about God in Jesus? His power came into full view. At the wedding in Cana in Galilee, oh, you're out of wine? Watch this. Get some water. Bring it to the steward. All of a sudden, the whole thing is the best wine you've ever tasted. This, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. That means it appeared. It came out from behind the curtain in full view, his power. Also to heal and open the eyes of the blind, to cast out Satan, to heal every dread disease, even to raise the dead. All this in power. The blue whale in full breach. But not only his power, but his great grace to us, to save us eternally in Christ. Peter says, you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but made manifest, say the word manifest, at the end of the times for your sake. In other words, the whale has always been swimming in the sea. You couldn't perceive it. You got a little tail. You got a flipper here or there, a little blow. He comes out, manifest for what purpose? To save you. His grace, Not only to forgive sins in his life, but to forgive sins at that cross. If you're wondering today, where's God? What are you like? What are you going to do for me? Look there, and you'll see how he has saved you. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God, says Isaiah. And also, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher, he's not going to hide himself anymore. But your eyes will see your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or to the left. And Jesus has appeared in full view. He doesn't hide himself. He's now been shown, and he says, this is the way to walk in. It's me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. If you want to go to the Father, you got to go through me. I'm the only way. And the gospel is now a manifestation of God to us. It was hidden long in darkness, but now known and understood. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, now made manifest to the saints, is this: that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. This is not hidden anymore. This is not behind a curtain. This is in full view and preached to you today in the open air, a full breach from the whale, from Jesus Christ. It is salvation through faith in him. And as the whale does a full breach, if you can picture that, have you seen that? And it crashes back into the sea with a mighty power and disappears again into the depths down below. Jesus also in his full breach did the same, but he went not down, but up again into the mysterious realms at his ascension after he rose from the dead. And he went up there and has disappeared, and all things seem glassy again now that he's disappeared out of sight in the heights. But guess what? You never need to doubt or wonder ever again about his love for you, for he manifested it. 1 John 4, in this the love of God was made manifest among you, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. So, does God love you? Are you there? God, is your power great? Are you gracious to me? All these things are behind the out from the curtain, full view. You can be sure that now neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is in full view, appeared and manifested to you, so that doubts be gone, faith be sure. So, conclusion here for today, season of Epiphany. Great season? Hey, this is the drawing back of the curtain, friends. God's revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And just as that whale has disappeared again into the mysterious realms above, Jesus into heaven, he's going to come again into full view, says the Bible, on the day of the Lord, his return. Peter calls it the great and manifest day, when he will come to judge the world, everyone for their lives, and those who have thought him not there and lived in sin will be terrified that day for their sins and their destiny. But not you. You'll be leaping for joy in Christ at his salvation. For on that day, he's going to manifest himself to you in the best way ever, his friendship. Namely, he says, you will see my face. The days of hide and seek, they're gone. It's just, here I am, my people, and we'll see his face and reign with him forever and ever more. So, let's conclude this message with that great hymn about God's manifestation in Christ. I'll read these words and we'll conclude. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now, and be pure as pure art thou, that we might become like thee at thy great epiphany. Jesus Christ be ever blessed, God in man made manifest. Amen.